Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Jim Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for listening to me on your Sunday evening, afternoon, whatever the case may be. Hey, just to give you a few little tidbits here, other than wish you a happy new year, and I hope this is a great year for you. We're going to be on Facebook now every week now. All right, so you'll be able to go to LA Talk Radio, get on Facebook, and be able to see us live is the bottom line, okay? So you can, for those of you who don't know me, you can see what a good-looking guy that I really am. At any rate, I hope your new year starts off pretty good. Mine ended pretty good and started off pretty good at the same time. I got a new publishing deal. I got a new book that will be coming out in the fall. I'll be giving you more details on that as we move through the year, and I have more information about publication dates and things of that nature. We'll probably do some book tours and things of that nature as well, okay? You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was we're going to be talking about a number of things. We're going to be talking about the attacks on the synagogue. I'm going to be doing the year in review regarding mass shootings, et cetera. But I also want to talk about the recap with the police officers. You know how I am about that. Some of the other information that I'm going to give you, statistical information on mass shootings this year, because people don't realize, and for those of you that are the regular listeners, you know that I always say that these things that are happening are not new. It's just that we have a tendency to forget. So I want to make sure that we stay in line with keeping the general public you know, these types of issues in front of the general public, basically. And I would encourage you to write to your various politicians, you know, about these things. Now, just to give you a recap, in 2019, there were 131 police officer deaths. Now, I know in the news that you normally hear a lower number. The 131 that I'm talking about, though, are officers who died in, passed away while they were actually on duty. Only 47 of those, and 47 to me is still a big number, 47 of those were by gunfire. And those are the ones I was keeping up with you throughout the course of the year. So that means 47 police officers died at the hands this year of a shooter. And again, those numbers are totally unacceptable. And you know, I'll always be preaching this issue about the police officers and the general public, and hopefully, you know, some of my listeners will have a more positive view, if they don't, of police officers and law enforcement. And I'm not just talking about law enforcement from the standpoint of, you know, the local authorities. I'm talking about on a national level as well. So just to let you know, okay? Now, that number of 131 is actually the lowest number since 1959. So that's the good news. In 1959, they had 122 police officers that died in the performance of their duties. So this number is the lowest since 1959. So I'm happy about that, obviously. So again, this is just information I'm passing out there. And I always hope that it makes a difference on how people pursue law enforcement and their feelings about law enforcement. Okay, as usual, you know, one of the things I always do, I like to talk about email, so I'm definitely going to be doing that first, and then I've actually done a little research on some of the questions that people have asked me about, and I will always encourage you to send me topics. I've talked about that before, and, you know, you can always send it to me, you know, by the email, listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. Send me those emails, all right? I always appreciate getting them. I can't read them all right, but I try to do some of the ones that are a little bit more timely in terms of things that are going on out there. Now, if you have any questions or you'd like to call in with a comment, whatever the case may be, you can always reach me at 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I always appreciate callers. We don't get them all the time, and that's okay too. But if you feel so inspired and you want to call and make a comment, I always appreciate that. You know, and if you want to get on my blog or email blast about upcoming shows and the topics for those shows, we have quite an extensive listing now, which is great, by the way. Just text POTS Associates, all right? Text POTS Associates to 22828 and enter your email address. So text POTS Associates and text that to 22828, and you'll get on our email blast, which will give you all of the upcoming shows as well. All right. And again, I would encourage you to get on my Twitter. You can find me on Twitter as well. All right. Okay, let's get into it now. You know, let me read these to you real quick. Jim, I consistently listen to your show and appreciate the message you convey. I have to tell you that I'm very concerned about all of these attacks on the synagogues. I'm Jewish, and I can tell you we are very concerned. It almost appears the most recent attacks are by African Americans. What are your thoughts? Janet from Santa Monica. Well, Janet, okay. First of all, attacks on the synagogues, obviously, you know what my feeling about that would be just in general, all right? I'm against all of this kind of violence and, you know, synagogues, churches, places of business. It doesn't matter to me. Any place where these attacks are concerned is what you're specifically pointing out in your email is about the fact that some of these Jewish attackers appear to be African-Americans. And for those of you that haven't been following some of this on the news, it is true that some of the attacks on the synagogues have been by African-Americans, or if you prefer, you know, by blacks. That would be a major concern, because one would have to wonder why. So I really did do a little bit of research on that as well, because, Janet, you made me a little bit curious about that as a concept, quite frankly. Now, I'm gonna read something to you as well, because I put it out there because I wanted to also get some feedback or see what was out there regarding that issue. Now, you're not alone in that feeling, so let me make that clear to you too, okay? Some of the feedback that I've gotten through other emails that I've noted is that Jews are being targeted by members of the non-white ethnic groups who see Jews as symbols of gentrification in their neighborhood. It's a community. This is from a community organizer who claims that Jews are being seen as hyper white. Okay, so that made me curious once again, you know, to figure out what that meant. But again, I kind of curtailed that because I wanted to see what other people were saying about that as well. Now, the issue is that while the Jews are being attacked by another individual, it may be because black people identify Judaism as a form of almost hyper-whiteness. This is according to somebody else. So there's more than one person that has said this. And they're saying that because of the fact that they feel that blacks are feeling, what's the word I want to use? I don't want to use the word pushed out, but that they're feeling that these attacks on these individuals is because of social injustices that are going on in certain communities. Another one, Jews are getting attacked in Brooklyn, and the forward is ready to explain to us why it isn't anti-Semitic. While the attacks are targeting Jews, maybe because black people identify Judaism as a form of hyper-whiteness. Okay, so here we go with that again. And it's like, okay, I don't know and what inspires people, but I can tell you that the last attack, as an example, and I'm going to, when I get into a little bit more of this detail, I'm going to tell you what's being said about the pastor on this last individual who went into the home of the Jewish rabbi and attacked five people. Now, there are people out there that are saying it's not anti-Semitism. There are people out there that are saying that they don't understand the explanation. They're saying it isn't anti-Semitism because people are committing the attacks and I'm blaming Jews for unrelated things happening to them in their neighborhood, which is what I kind of alluded to a few moments ago, that there's issues in certain people's neighborhoods where they feel discriminated against, pushed out, whatever the case may be. But the realities are, it doesn't matter to me what the reason is, Janet, to answer your question, because if in fact, you know, Jewish people are being targeted, so to speak, it doesn't matter to me what the reason is. It's still wrong, all right? Whether they feel there's some kind of social injustice is going on, et cetera. Now, what I was curious about was okay, is this an historical issue, or is this something that's more recent, where you know one person does something and now you got a copycat? Because we go through that a lot with the different types of attacks. So that made me curious. So what I did, I got on the internet, as I do a lot with some of this, and I actually did a little research. And then I came up with something that 50 years ago, that there was a rabbi, 50 years ago, all right, that prophesied that black people were going to target Jews in violent waves of attacks. Now, you have to look at that and say, okay, what's the thought process? This rabbi predicted it 50 years ago. Now, look, I didn't go back and do research on the last 50 years to find out how many times blacks may have attacked synagogues and Jewish people, all right? But I can tell you that the most recent incident, as an example, and that was the Monsey attack, M-O-N-S-E-Y, for those of you that didn't capture it on the news. But on that particular one, a man entered a synagogue and was about 50 Jews, and this was in New York, by the way, drew a machete and viciously attacked Jews as they celebrated the holiday celebration. All right. Now, the assailant managed to wound five people while others threw furniture and tried to defend themselves. And that throwing of the furniture I'm actually going to be talking about in a little bit as well, in terms of throwing things, protecting yourself, etc. So it's coincidental that it's there. Now, this individual's name was Michael Grafton, and he fled. He got out of there, but they got his license plate number. And as a result of that, they were able to track him down. And he had poured bleach on himself to hide evidence of his crime, but blood remained on his clothes, and the bloody machete was still in his car when he got caught. What I am not happy to hear, but let me back up. I can't say I'm unhappy to hear it, but after he gets captured right away, he's pleading not guilty. I swear sometimes I wish some of these people would take accountability for what they do. But he's pleading not guilty, and he's on a $5 million bail. It's a hate crime, besides all the other things that he did. And, you know, from that perspective, he's got five counts of attempted murder. And fortunately, that means they didn't die. It's attempted murder, but $5 million is a lot. He's not going to be able to probably make that bail. Now, what I did find out was that his pastor, and I don't want to give her name. I guess it doesn't really make that much difference. But her pastor said that she knows him personally, has known him for years, and that is not based on anti-Semitism. That is based on the fact that he's got an insanity problem. But, I don't want to say I'm skeptical. Some of you know my background, you know, and I represented a serial killer when I was in law school. Which is, by the way, about this book that's coming out in the fall. It's a sequel to my first book, Right to Counsel. But at any rate, this business about insanity, every time people kill somebody, the first thing they always want to claim is the insanity defense. So there's a lot that goes with that. You know, does he have a history of this? Has he been seeing somebody? Has there been other issues in the past, et cetera? So walking into court one day after you attack people, kill people, whatever the case may be, and say, hey, I'm insane, or my client's insane. You know, that doesn't always fly in the eyes of juries. I mean, they look at some of that and say, you know what? They don't buy into it. So it'll be up to his defense team to be able to prove that he, in fact, is insane when he did this. Now, according to the pastor, they're really saying that she's really emphasizing that he's really is mentally ill. The coincidence of that, Janet, is the fact that he's not the only black person, so I get it, that's attacked these synagogues over the last few weeks. And I don't know whether it was because of the fact with the Christmas holidays that were coming up, et cetera, where some of these individuals, because it's, you know, Catholicism is a Christian holiday, I don't know the faith of these individuals. But in his particular case, they're saying that he's insane. Now, a lot of people feel uncomfortable about pointing the finger at black people because, you know, politically speaking, and I'm not taking sides one way or another because you guys know how I am about that. They're very quiet and hush-hush anytime, you know, it's African-Americans are involved because nobody wants to be called a racist. But attacks on synagogues are attacks on synagogues. Now, you know, there's been 9 attacks targeting Jews in New York City, all right? 9 attacks, you guys, over the last few weeks and during Hanukkah. That's a lot. That is a lot. So as a result of that, you're going to get this kind of publicity. But it's interesting because I try to flip through the different channels to see how different channels handle the news I think some of the channels don't carry as much as some of the other ones, which makes me wonder why, quite frankly. But this racial phenomenon that they're going through right now, as I told you, was predicted by this rabbi 50 years ago. And why he came up with it at that time, I have no idea. But he predicted it. And some of it, as I understand, has to do with the Bible and things in the Bible, things he's read in the Bible, etc. So who knows? I bring it up to where we are right now with this. And quite frankly, where we are right now with this is that hopefully it'll stop. I think any attacks is wrong, as you know. Targeting people in churches when they're worshiping, whatever their faith is, in my opinion, is an abomination just in and of itself. All right? So we'll just wait and see what happens. You know, the holidays are over now. We're moving into a new year. We'll see if that settles itself down. So that's the best I can do, Janet, to say that he did this because, you know, he's African-American or whatever. I don't know. His pastor is saying he's just insane. Maybe coincidentally he's black. But these attacks have been, you know, absolutely ridiculous. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. All right. All right. Let's get to the next one. Jim, just a comment. I know you do not believe in private citizens carrying guns, but how about the citizen in Texas that shot the attacker at the synagogue? So you could see that I'm getting waves of things about synagogues and things that are happening about this. So that the emails are coming in. You know, I bet that guy was shocked when he was met with an unexpected end to his life. Jake, San Antonio, Texas. Well, Jake, I'm sure he was shocked. Now, just to give some information out there, what people may not know was that the individual who actually shot that perpetrator was a trainer. He trained the security team at the synagogue. A lot of the synagogues, I mean, I visited a client not too long ago, and they, in fact, have, you know, it's a temple, you know, it's a Jewish company, Jewish schools, et cetera, a nonprofit, and they have their security team. And I know that a lot of the churches and some of the other synagogues have their own little security force. Well, this individual that actually shot the perpetrator was a person who was part of the security. And then in addition to that, he's been training people, handling, weapons, handguns, et cetera. So he had said that they had been practicing, they hoped it never happened. And as we all hope it never happens. But he had been practicing, he's been training his group. And when this individual walked in, fortunately, he was there and he was prepared. And he was able to subdue, so to speak, the shooter very quickly. One shot, okay, took care of the shooter. So that's pretty good. So, Jake, when you say that, and you guys have heard me talk about this before in terms of whether or not I believe in this business about CCWs, this is going to be always an ongoing issue. And I'll get things from people all the time because, and I've gotten other scenarios from people where they say, hey, listen, this is what happened. Don't you agree? People are trying to get me to change my mind about these CCWs. I'm not saying that there isn't some benefit, okay? Don't get me wrong on that. But is what I am saying is that just understand the liabilities that goes along with it. This guy that did the shooting of this perpetrator, look, the guy was a trainer. He's prepared. He's ready. Everybody's not like that, okay? He was cool, calm, and collected. All right. So just kind of keep in mind that it's not as easy as it sounds. All right. So I'm never going to say that it doesn't work out. There was a lady in Chicago. Guy tried to rob her on the street. I mean, I talked about that one in the previous show. She had a CCW, concealed weapon. She turns around and shoots the robber. I'm never going to say it doesn't work out. Okay. But these percentages are small. All right. And the first thing, in my opinion, for you to do is to get out of there. Now, the synagogue, these people are trapped inside. I get all of that. It worked out, Jake. So I'm never going to say no, but that's still not my first thing because there's a lot of civil liability and criminal liability can be associated with it. That's all. All right? Okay. Last email. Jim, the general concept regarding active shooter situations is to run, hide, and fight. What are your thoughts? Tammy, Cincinnati, Ohio. Look, Tammy, it's true. We do a lot of active shooter training. Those of you that are regular listeners know that. We've done active shooter training from San Diego all the way up to Seattle, Washington, and all the way over to Miami. And we've trained a lot of people at this point. And we do talk about these things because law enforcement in general talks about, and you guys may have heard this, some of you, and it may be new listeners, I don't know, the run, hide, fight concept. So when you ask me whether or not, you know, how do I feel about it? Well, I always feel that it's okay to say run, hide, and fight. Get out, okay, is how I look at it if you can. But there's not all of those situations that permit you to be able to get out. So, Tammy, so what I would say would be that under those circumstances, there are certain things that I've encouraged people, even in our trainings, to do. And I don't know if anybody out there has been in any of these situations. If so, you want to call in an experience, let me know. 818-602-4929. But, you know, having said that, look, here's what I would say, because she's asking me, what are my thoughts? Well, my thoughts are very simple. You got to act or shoot a situation, and if you cannot get out, what's the best alternative? And again, this is my humble opinion. Obviously, this is not 100%, because I don't think there's anything 100% out there in these particular scenarios. But the first thing I would say is that you've got to act aggressively. If you just press against the wall, that's going to be problematic. So what do I say? You got to act aggressively. You got to do something. Throwing items, you know, at the person. You know, on one of these I just read to you, they were talking about the fact that the churchgoers picked up furniture and threw it at the person. Hey, I don't care what you can find. Anything to distract the person. Throw whatever you can, okay, at the person. You got to act aggressively. But the main thing is, I want you to remember, is that whatever you make, you know, the decision to do, be committed to the action. That's what's important. Once you make that decision, don't half-step with it. Go all out. Because remember, your life and possibly the life of your family, your friends standing around you are also in danger at that point. So you do whatever you got to do, all right? Now, if you're going to do the attack, make sure that you attack the person in vulnerable parts of the body, the eyes, the face, the throat, the groin area if necessary. Whatever you have to do, that's what you have to do. Be aggressive with it. Go after it. Now, there are people that have asked me, well, should I take a self-defense training course? You know, it's funny. The other day I was watching the news, and that lady that's getting ready, that did the college thing with, you know, paying for her daughter or herself, whoever it was, to, you know, to go to college. And now she's looking at a number of years in prison. So she hired a prison coach, if you're ready for that one. And also hired a self-defense person, a teacher, I guess, karate. Who knows, you know, self-defense, because she looks like she might be going to prison and she wants to protect herself. I'm not against people going out with this, you know, and learning self-defense. I mean, that's out there. I mean, that's nothing new. So you get out there, you learn self-defense. Okay, great, 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 great. All right, but that's still not the first option. Because if you think that you do that, then you think, okay, you know what, I know self-defense. But remember something. What's self-defense? Karate, judo, whatever these various self-defense courses are. How does that match up with an automatic weapon? I mean, that's the other way to look at it. But I would say do something. If you could do that and you're in a corner, you do what you got to do. So if you think self-defense will help you, then take the self-defense course is how I look at it. Now, the other thing people will try and tell you is that, obviously, if you're throwing things, you're distracting the person. Try to grab a hold of that weapon if you can, if you're close enough. That's what happened to this one individual at the Waffle House. I forget what state it was in. And he did the run, hide, fight. But then that didn't work out. So he had to run out and confront the guy. When he did, he was able to wrestle a gun away from the guy. Guy only ended up killing five people. So, I mean, that's an example, you know, of the run, hide, fight scenario. The other thing I want you to remember is that you don't have to be a lone individual with this. If really there's an active shooter, hey, band together. Don't try to do it by yourself. You know, yell charge. Okay, everybody starts throwing things. Yell charge. And quite frankly, with some of these groups, by the way, this is something you should be discussing beforehand anyway. So if you have an organization, you know, it's church members. It's a shame you got to go to church and start talking about what do we do if. You know, but unfortunately, those are the times that we're living in. You're at work and something happens. Same thing. Hey, guys, if anything happens, let's throw things and let's charge if we can't get out. So don't try to be, the lone person there with that. You know, get some people together, strength by numbers, type of concept. So, I think the bottom line is that everybody's going to have to decide what they do when they get in that scenario. I think is what's most important is to think about these things beforehand so that if something happens, you don't have to think about it. It almost becomes second nature. You know, Flight 93 during the 9/11 attack, what did they do? They banded together and they fought. The plane went down, but the plane didn't achieve it. They didn't achieve their objective, okay, because these people fought and did what they had to do. And I think that's what's important. Okay? So, Tammy, that's about the best that I can tell you with that. Hopefully, things will settle themselves down. We're looking at a new year. I'm hoping for that new year. But a part of me is just saying, okay, what's going to be the next catastrophe this year with some of this? Which I'm getting ready to talk about right now with mass shooters. Now, with mass shootings this year. Now, one of the concerns I do have, of course, and why wouldn't I, and why would you not, as listeners, is this business about what's going on in Iran. Because with killing out, with killing their top general, basically, look, whether you think politically was right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm not getting into the politics of it, as I never do, but, Hezbollah, some of these other, these people have always hated us. They've been doing things already to us. Okay, so they may be using this as an excuse to basically rally the troops, so to speak, out there, to say, look what they did to this poor innocent man. The guy was on the terrorist list. He was on the terrorist list. This guy was not just an innocent guy walking down the street, and he was apparently planning another attack. They just didn't plan the attack on the embassy. So, personally, I'm not sad to see him go. Sorry, but that's the deal. The guy was a terrorist, all right? So I think that the world is much better off without him under these circumstances, quite frankly. So my concern is what's going to be next. I don't believe the United States in and of itself should sit back and have our citizens harmed. You know that already. So I would say that we have to wait and see whether or not the threats that are being made against us, how they're going to come, all right? So Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, we just have to wait and see what happens. My main concern, as what it's always been, is the lone shooter situations, the lone attacker situations that we get confronted with, which I'm getting ready to talk about right now. Because think about it, in 2019, we really didn't have a quote-unquote international incident per se, where we could come back and say, hey, that was totally disastrous. Hopefully, we'll never experience anything like 9/11 again. But hey, these situations, I just wait, okay, to make sure. And I know that law enforcement is doing everything that they can to avoid these things. So we have to wait and see. So now I want to turn the attention to this business about mass shootings in the United States in 2019. My question to you: how many mass shootings do you actually think that there was in 2019, if you had to guess a number? Let me give you a moment to think about that. Okay, time's up. And don't be on your computers or on your phones trying to do a little quick thing, blah, 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 blah. I just wanted to know off the top of your head what you think. Now, look, first of all, let's talk about mass shootings. What really determines what's a mass shooting? There's definitions out there about public mass shootings. It's really about four or more victims. So just kind of remember that. It has to do with four or more victims. All right? And it could come different ways. All right? I'm just focusing on mass shootings. So I'm not even talking about the machete attacks and all of this. Not really. All right? Now, I know what's going to happen. We're going to have people wanting to talk about the Second Amendment again. Here's the guy in Texas that did that, Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. Taking the guns away. Here's the situation. Look, I get those emails also. I get that, okay? I think we've beat Second Amendment into the ground. Most of you already know my feelings about the Second Amendment from that perspective, all right? But let me just tell you something. I'm going to give you some statistics here in a second. But let me just tell you something. There were 434. Did you hear that number? 434 mass shootings in the United States in 2019. Now you look at that and say, you got to be kidding me. See, part of the problem is it's stuff doesn't all get reported. Or you're not listening because it's out there. We go about our daily lives. We don't think about some of this stuff twice. We go about our daily lives. It happens. Oh, my God, that's horrible. Next day, we're off doing our thing. And I get that. 434 mass shootings. All right. Now, with that, do you know what the number, if you figure that out? That's 1.19 mass shootings a day in the United States last year per day. You know, it's only 352 days in a year. I just told you it's 400 and some odd, 434 shootings, mass shootings. Now, I can tell you the number of people that were injured, 1,643. All right? Now, you may say, well, you know, actually, that's not a lot. It is if you were one of them or a family member. Think about it. But there was 643 that were injured. 517 died. That is still a huge number. 517 people died in 2019 from mass shootings. Now you say, okay, well, where are, and let me just tell you, all over the country. Before you start sending me, and where did all this take place, Jim? Well, all over the country, to make a long story short. Now I got some statistical information that I want to share with you as well, okay? And then I'll get into some of the ones that were a little bit more specific that you probably remember. Providing you are watching the news, of course. All right. I people tell me, I don't watch the news. It's too depressing. Look, you got to watch the news to know what's going on. Okay? So, now, I'm going to start in January of last year. January of last year, there were 28. All right? January 28th, mass shootings. Okay? Total number killed, 48. Total number wounded, 86. February, 22 mass shootings, 38 killed. Total number wounded, 68. March, 21 mass shootings, 13 killed, 89 wounded. April, 34 mass shootings, 23 killed, 136 wounded. All right. May, 43 mass shootings, 40 killed, 181 wounded. June, 48. Mass shootings, 34 killed, 217 wounded. July, 52 mass shootings, 50 killed, 202 wounded. August, 49 mass shootings, 89 killed, 240 wounded. September, 37 mass shootings, 50 total number killed and 123 wounded. Listen to these numbers. October, 36 mass shootings, 56 total number killed, 124 wounded. November, 29 mass shootings, total number killed with 25, total number wounded 138. December, 35. Did I skip November? Wait, November, 29 mass shootings, 25 total number killed, 138 wounded. And then in December, we had 35 mass shootings, 51 killed, and 139 wounded. All right. Totals, I already gave you the total, 435. Total number killed, 517. Wounded, 1,643. Now, this is what I preach all year long. You look at these numbers, and you say, when is this going to get better? I don't know. You know, I think everybody's got to take responsibility for their neighborhood, their friends, their families, and looking at something, trying to curtail some of this. Now, let's look at it a little bit more in detail, and let me see what you remember and don't remember. Okay? Now, January. I'm going to see what you remember. January. Here we go. We're talking about the church in Louisiana. Remember that one? We had five people killed. A 21-year-old man killed five people, including his parents, in two parishes in Louisiana. He fled to Virginia and was arrested the next day. That was January 26, 2019. That's how our year started off. An attack in a church. How did our year end it? Think about it. Same way. Place of worship. January 23rd, Sebring, Florida. Once again, five dead. All right. That was a hostage incident. Now, look, that was at a bank. But remember something. If it was at a bank and there's people working, that's what? That's an example of, what is it? Violence in the workplace. 49% of all active shooters, workplace. All right? So when I'm talking about mass shootings, some of these you probably never even heard about. What happened in the bank? I don't remember hearing about that. I know what you're saying. Well, let's look at some of the other ones. February, Aurora, Illinois. Six people killed, six people wounded. Man opened fire in his workplace. There we go. Violence in the workplace. You know, I tell clients, I tell people outside of that, I do a lot of speaking engagements. Got one coming up, I think I have several coming up this month, actually. And I try to tell people about the workplace and the preparation that goes into it. You got to be prepared for these things. All right? You got to be prepared. And if your company's not doing that, then you need to talk to them. You know, what preparation should we be doing? All right? So this was a workplace that killed five employees and injured five police officers and a civilian before being killed by police. That was in Illinois, Aurora. Okay, next one, in May, Virginia Beach. You might remember this one. 13 people killed, four people injured, all right, for a total of 17. The Virginia Beach shooting was the gunman who killed 12 people, including four of the city public works building. The gunman died at the scene after being shot by police. Once again, guys, it was still a place of employment. That's violence in the workplace. One of the seminars that I do and the speeches that I give, I should say, not just a seminar, but speeches I give is on the impact of domestic terrorism on the workplace. It's really very good because it really does go through some of these things and the preparation, what they should do to be prepared. Okay, that was in May. Now let's get to June, all right? June 8th, 2019, White Swan, Washington. Listen to that name, White Swan. White Swan, Washington. Five people killed, all right, after the perpetrator. Now, tell me if you heard about this one. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't remember hearing this one on the news. So to me, this one was very interesting. It actually took place on an Indian reservation. And maybe that's where they get the name from, White Swan, Washington. So this is in the state of Washington. It was on an Indian reservation. And the name of the Indian reservation was the Native Americans, depending on what's politically correct these days. So I'll say Native Americans, but anyway, it was called the Yakama, Y-A-K-A-M-A, Indian Reservation is the name of it, okay? So five people were killed, you know, after they opened fire. Now, reservations are federal, by the way, guys. I don't know if you know that or not. That's federal land, federal property, et cetera, even though it's owned by the Indians, you know, by the Native Americans. But that has to do with federal issues. Let's put it that way. But I don't remember hearing about that one on the news. So that was interesting, that when I saw that. Probably going to dig a little bit deeper into that one because I'd like to know what that was about. Because what I did, I printed out all of the ones for this year. So you're hearing me kind of recap. Let's put it that way. Some of the ones where they had, you know, a number of people killed. Some of them, like I said, were on the news. I don't know why that one wasn't. Or at least I missed it if it was. Now, there was another one. San Jose, California, June 23rd, five people killed. Nobody was injured in that one. They were all killed. And that one was a four-hour standoff. That he killed four people, and then the perpetrator killed himself as well. All right, those are active shooter situations, people. Now, you know, the lady, the minister about this individual who attacked the rabbi in his home, where she says he's insane, whatever the case may be. Look, some of these people, we really don't know. I mean, what motivated this particular guy that I just told you about? Who knows? You know, sometimes it's so unsuspecting. People keep things to themselves. They don't mention it. So my message to you would be, look, if you hear about somebody's having some problems, mental problems, they can't cope with society, whatever the case may be, try and open up and talk to them. But the one thing I don't want you to do is give them advice. Be careful about giving advice because if it doesn't work out, then they may hold you responsible. All right? So you can have a conversation with them. You can listen to them. And I think that the only advice if you're going to give is possibly, you know, do you want to talk to somebody? You know, maybe you should talk to somebody about this. You know, that advice is probably good, you know, from that perspective. But don't go any further than that. You know, don't get all deep and psychological with them. You know, well, you know, society is this and that, and you got to learn how to get along. That's not what they're going to want to hear. Okay, now I'm not a psychologist, okay, but that's what I would say is probably the way to go. All right. July. Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. 5 killed. A gunman shot 6 people. All right. And then he killed himself. We're advocate. We watch the news. All right. We watch the news a lot. Some of these surprised me because of the number of people that died and how many were on the news on some of these. It's completely shocking. And I don't know why the media chooses to cover some things and not other things. But the other side of the coin is if there's so many of them, I mean, what did I just tell you? 434. Maybe that's just too much, you know? So they take the ones that are a little bit more high profile, possibly. I mean, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. I mean, no offense to the people who live in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. You know, I'm sure it's a great place to live, but it's not like it's New York City. So if something like that happens in New York City, you're probably going to hear about it. And maybe that's the same thing would happen on the, at the Yamaka Indian reservations as well. So I don't know. July 28th. Now this one was on the news and you might remember this. This was the Gilroy Garlic Festival in California. That made the national news. And in that one, there's only 4 people killed. I want to say only 4 people killed, but there were 17 people wounded. But there was a lot of coverage on that one. And maybe it's because 17 people were injured. And you might remember, he's the one where they actually had security at the festival, and law enforcement was there. But he cut his way in through a back fence and came into the festival and started shooting. And fortunately, there were law enforcement personnel there that were able to end the shooting by ending his life. So, again, we can't always be there. Law enforcement can't always be there. You know, it can't be every place. But fortunately, in that situation, we had law enforcement. Now, I'm sure you remember this one. Dayton, Ohio. Remember that one? That was all over the news. Now, that was on August 4th. But I'm going to read something to you. On August 4th, now listen to this. Memphis, Tennessee. Grenada, Mississippi, or Grenada, Mississippi. Chicago, Illinois. Chicago, Illinois. That is two back to back. All this on August 4th. And then the Dayton, Ohio shooting that killed 10 people and wounded 27. You remember that? That was when the gunman killed 9 people and injured 27 outside the bar after he was denied entry. How do you kill all these people because they were denied entry? Now, that's a situation where who knows, did this guy have some mental problems? On that one, I would probably agree, because what sense does that make? And this is outside of it. This is at a bar. But either way, look at the number of people. You know, now let's not forget, I told you that was August 4th. Do you recall what happened the day before? The day before was the El Paso, Texas shooting. 22 people killed, 24 people injured. All right. That's the one that happened at the Walmart. You guys remember that one? Now, when you look at that one, you say, yeah, Jim, well, that would be my definition of a mass shooting. And that's okay, whatever the case may be. Now, the Dayton, Ohio shooter, as I recall, I don't remember who he told, whatever the case may be, but he stated that he had planned something anyway, but then after the El Paso shooting, Texas shooting, he decided to go ahead and do something, you know, basically immediately. So he did it the next day, all right? So I'm not so sure that it was issued just because it was at the bar. The issue was he just decided to do it. He had already planned on doing it. But I guess he wanted to try to top what had happened the day before. Who knows? But His numbers were close. I mean, his total numbers for dead and wounded in Dayton, Ohio was 37. The El Paso, Texas situation, total number killed and wounded was 46. I mean, that was pretty close from that perspective. But look at the amount of people and lives that got impacted by that. You know, one of the things that I'm talking about in my new book, all right, the name of the book is going to be called Right to Counsel, The Dark Side of Justice, by the way. But one of the things that I'm talking about in that book was the fact that people don't realize sometimes that it's not just a question of what you do to the victim. What about the impact on the victim's family and friends? It's really far-reaching. I mean, we're talking about statistics here. We're saying, as an example, with the El Paso shooting, 22 dead, 24 wounded. What's the number of people impacted by that? I mean, that number could be in the hundreds. Who knows? I mean, you're talking, you know, what is it, 46 people total. I mean, two people to a family puts it over 100. You know, so it's more than just what happens to the victims and the victim getting killed. It's the residual impact as well. And unfortunately, that's the shame. And some of these people probably have thought about that, but they simply don't care. Whether they're trying to make a name for themselves, whatever the case may be, I don't know. All right, because like I said, some of these people, we don't even have an opportunity to find out why. And that is the sad part of it, you know, for sure. Now, the other thing that happened, and remember, these are shootings. So this has nothing to do with the synagogue attacks and at the end of the year with the machete or things of that nature, okay? These are mass shootings. And they had to be five or more. So remember the one that happened in Texas with the guy that had been trained to shoot, that was only two people killed. So that one doesn't even go down as a mass shooting, all right? August 31st, Odessa and Midland, Texas. Odessa and Midland, Texas, okay? August 31st, we had 8 dead but 25 wounded. Now, just a reminder, 8 people were killed, including the perpetrator, and 25 were wounded when he opened a fire on police and civilians after fleeing from a traffic stop. Remember him? He had a situation with a traffic stop. So we're not even talking about a person that had an axe to grind, so to speak. This is a guy that was at a traffic stop, and he just starts to open fire. Now, maybe he was heading somewhere. Okay, and because of the traffic stop, he just decided just to start right there. But once again, with these things, we honestly don't know. Now, when I looked at all of these statistics, et cetera, these stats all had to do with, you know, some of the larger numbers. But I'm going to take just the last couple of minutes and just to tell you about some of the other places where things happen. You know, Baltimore, Maryland. New Orleans, High Point, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And these, by the way, are where maybe nobody got killed, okay, but you had more than the people wounded. Like December 22nd, 13 people were shot at a party that was held to memorialize a victim of an earlier shooting. So you're talking 13 people were injured there, but nobody was killed. And again, we've talked about Chicago before. But anyway, Great Falls, Montana, Columbus, Georgia, Ivanhoe, California. I have no idea where that one is. Jersey City, Edinburgh, Texas, DeSoto, Texas, New Orleans, Pensacola. I mean, all of these are Pearl Harbor. I think we knew about that one. That one was with the United States Navy sailor. But see, again, that wasn't considered a mass shoot. Well, that's a mass shooting because 3 people were killed and 1 injured, basically. But Pearl Harbor. Comstock Township, Michigan, Cotton Valley, Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana, another one in New Orleans. So these, as you can see, Little Rock, Arkansas. I mean, these are places that you may not even suspect. But then who knows these days when you say where it's going to happen? I'm naming you off some of these little towns, and this is pages and pages of these things. So the reality is it's not just with the major cities. These things can happen anywhere. And that's why I want you to remain vigilant. I want you to remain aware of your surroundings and know what's going on. Talk to local law enforcement. Befriend local law enforcement. These people could be out there saving your lives one day. All right? So just kind of keep that in mind. And again, I will emphasize, if anybody wants to send me some topics, because I do get emails regarding topics. Sorry, some of the topics that I get, to me, some of them are too political. I try to stay away from that. I'm not going to take sides and all this nonsense that's going on in Washington. Sorry. But, you know, send me some topics that aren't political in nature, so to speak. And then we can always go from there. All right. So look, in closing, I want to thank all of my listeners for listening to me all throughout last year. I hope I didn't bore you throughout that time. Next week, I'm going to be on the air. My son is going to be back. We'll be talking about some things that will be very interesting. And we'll put that email blast out there as well. All right? Okay, you've been listening to Jim Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show. But be sure to please join me next week. And do me a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. We've got a huge following out there now. It's really kind of nice to know that people are listening to what I have to say. And if you like what you heard, spread the word. And don't forget to buy my book on domestic safety, terrorism safety tips. It is on Amazon, and it's still continuing to do well. All right? All right. Until then, be aware, be safe, but more importantly, be a reluctant victim.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.